This episode is available to watch as a video podcast exclusively on the Talking Backwards Patreon page. Sign up today over at patreon.com/talkingbackwards.
You know what would have been a great title for Twin Peaks?
Isolating and Strange?
Owl City.
Damn it.
Got me.
Damn it.
Just saying.
Oh, man. Well, welcome back to Talking Backwards, the Twin Peaks podcast. I'm Dave Jackson, joined by Patrick Mahan.
Hey, everybody.
And Tyler Mullins.
Hey. Hey!
There you go. Okay.
There it is. Yeah.
Just looking for enthusiasm.
That's the title we were looking for.
So, Case Files.
Case Files.
Yeah.
What about them?
Well, why don't you tell me about them with some Pat stats.
All right.
The official Pat Stats.
You could have been anywhere in the world tonight, but you're here with us.
Pat Stats.
Haul out your boy for some Pat Stats. Stats. Stats.
I hate the Pat Stats.
Oh, we're back to the long one?
Yep.
All right.
I haven't heard it in a while.
Well, this is part 5 of Twin Peaks to the Return, a.k.a. Season 3, Episode 5, a.k.a. Case Files from Twin Peaks, the Limited Event Series.
Yes.
Immediately, we are taken to Las Vegas, where I immediately get goosebumps with the music that's playing. I mean, damn, you want to set a mood. You do it with this, these shots of the strip, and you've got the song The Flame by Johnny Jewel. Johnny Jewel is a Chromatics member.
Old Joe Jewel.
I just want to say, and I'm gonna do a plug for this. I'm sure many Twin Peaks fans know that this exists, but there is an album that he put out, I think, shortly after The Return aired, called Windswept, and that is the name of the song at the end of the episode that he also did. It's just a bunch of music, because he did a bunch of music for the series, and a bunch of stuff that didn't make it in the series he released as an album, and it's a fantastic album that totally puts you in the mood of, you know, Twin Peaks. So just a quick plug there. If you don't have a copy,
puts me in the mood.
I kind of do. I just saw it at the beginning of this when the music was playing. So I do know what gets you in the mood, and her name is Audrey Horne. Mm. Unfortunately, there's no Audrey Horne in part 5.
Just waiting. Wait till part 6, people.
Sure.
Oh, yes.
Get some blunted beats all up in you.
My first note on this episode
is I'm a good man.
Is Gene on phone with Lorraine, comma, her music underlined.
That's right.
Every time. It's so great.
It's good.
One quick point I want to point out, just in case, because I feel like it's important, at least for the listeners to know where we are in the series. Tyler has seen up to part 7 at this point of this recording. So it may be possible that we might reference something from 6 or 7. We'll try our best not to, but I just want to say that quick, because this scene actually just made me think of something from part 6, but I will hold on to that thought.
So. I would appreciate that.
Of course. Yeah, so let's talk about this scene with Gene.
Mm-hmm.
Gene Renault.
Oh, dang. It is spelled differently, but that is another Gene.
Hmm.
Even not really, is John Renault, but we call him Gene. It works for us,
that
I guess.
That is a talking backwards double.
That is a TBD.
TBD. TM.
If you're looking for forced doubles, you've come to the right place.
We're full of them. I'm a good man playing. Like, what a great song.
I'm a good man. The track is called I Am.
That's true. My first notes for this episode were, I'm a good man. Because my head just starts bopping when this song starts playing. So I'm thankful for that. But Dave, what goes on in this scene?
So this lady, Lorraine, is on the phone with a fella named Gene, who is currently staking out Dougie Jones's car.
Parmesan?
Still. Car's still there. Still no Dougie Jones. And she's displeased with this. And very upset. She sends a text from a BlackBerry.
She sends a message from her BlackBerry.
Yeah.
BlackBerry.
Yeah.
I'm pointing it out for a reason. You'll see this theme recur as the episode goes on.
Just antiquated technology.
No. Just wait.
Is that the town fruit of Twin Peaks?
Yes, the BlackBerry. Well, we're going to talk about a lot of berries in this episode.
Fruits in general.
Dingles?
Dangles?
Wasn't planning
on dangles.
Dunk jangles?
There is a new movie, new Christmas movie on Netflix called Jingle Jangle.
Is it about Dunk?
I don't know.
Might have to watch it and find out.
It's the Dunk Jangle Christmas special.
Might have to watch that and find out.
So Lorraine sends a text from her BlackBerry.
Yep.
To the contact Argent, and the text is just the number 2.
Can we assume yes. Argent? I mean, we know that sounds a lot like agent, but
it also
Argent,
sounds a lot like urgent.
Yeah,
or Argent.
Or it also sounds a lot like urgent. Argent. But then the next thing we see is Argentina.
Don't cry for me.
I won't.
Do we know it's Argentina right away?
Yes,
it is. It does say
it does have
immediately
the
Buenos
Aires.
Yes,
Aries.
Which where have we seen that before in the Twin Peaks universe?
Philip Jeffries, Tyler.
Philip Jeffries.
Yeah.
I thought you were confused, too.
No, I didn't look at you.
I didn't look at you. Philip Jeffries, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Still there kicking it, I'm sure. Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Making phone calls.
Yep.
So yeah, Argent, Argentina. A lot of things to be derived from this.
A lot of things to be made. I mean, later in the episode, we see a special agent. Send a message that might be connected to this as well. So who knows?
Special Argent David Copperhead.
Yes. The Magician?
The Magician.
That's
the Magician.
One. That's the one.
Okay.
What this text seems to do is activate ? Something in Argentina.
Yeah, it beeps.
There's this sort of device in a bowl.
I call it a classic box in a bowl.
Classic bowl in a bowl box.
Yep.
Yes.
And it's got
bowl box diverse.
It's got two little LEDs on it, and they start to flash, and that is what this text apparently has done.
Yeah.
There's not much given after that concerning what's just occurred.
What's just occurred?
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know.
What has just occurred?
I mean...
Well, so Lorraine is... Let's just backtrack for a second. She's pissed because Jean did not kill Dougie.
Mm-hmm.
So she knows that... That's bad news for her.
Yeah.
And no news is good news.
Right. But what does her sending a message is, I'm just going to spitball here, is whatever message, the Argent message that she sent, is that just indicating that Dougie's not dead?
Dial 1 if he's dead.
Right.
Dial 2 if he is not dead.
Right, yeah. Like, because that's... That's all I can think of is,
para
that,
español,
is that the message is the message that she's sending out is indicating that he's not dead.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think?
I am going to say yes.
Okay. Perfect.
Or no.
Even better.
Twist.
So the box has 2 lights.
She's had 2 visions.
There it is.
There it is.
Had she sent a 1, would only 1 light have lit up?
This is the classic...
what if scenario?
Paul Revere scenario.
Ah, yeah, classic. Yes.
Yeah.
So I assume...
One if by dead, two if by not dead.
They're coming by sea.
We will see.
Come by sea.
Oh. Here's another TBD.
We have fun.
We do.
We joke.
We do.
We joke around.
What?
And so does this coroner.
Yes.
Yep. I mean, who doesn't love a classic stand-up at the morgue? I know I do.
I mean...
I love it.
If I ever would have guessed that somebody was going to be a comedian, it would be... Niles' wife.
Yeah. let's talk about this. Because I think there's actually quite a bit to unpack here. Because I mean, you're hit with a lot of information about this body, for one, which we know to be one Major Briggs.
Yes.
What?
Well, so, we've deduced
that. Right, we've deduced that it's Major Briggs. So
did we deduce that at this point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's Mr. Briggs' body. Mr. Briggs. It's Garland Briggs' body. His head was floating around in the space dimension saying Blue Rose. The monster in the box has Ruth Davenport's body, but her own head, because she's just a head. And then there's another just sentient head floating around somewhere. We decided this is a scientific fact.
All right.
So I want to talk about the ring, the wedding ring.
Okay.
So she clearly shows this wedding ring that she's found inside the stomach of Major Briggs. Mm-hmm. So this is not our first ring in the series.
No.
Hardly.
It's a wedding ring.
Yes.
Not our first wedding ring. We had Dougie's wedding ring. Mm-hmm. Remember, Dougie got married in season two. So not just this Dougie who's married.
Yeah, I was about to say we're specifically talking about Dougie's wedding ring.
But
now.
No. I'm talking about Douglas Milford. Dougie Milford.
Also, I am going to pause you just before I forget.
Sure.
I think we really glazed over Tyler's comments about Douglas Firs.
Oh, in the last episode? Just,
we really swept that under the rug.
Yeah. No, it's great.
I apologize. We really should have
That's true.
acknowledged
it
that.
It was a great prediction.
Yep. Anyway, go ahead.
Also not our first sort of wedding talk here, with this ring I thee wed, mm-hmm. Which was said by...
Man from Another Place?
The pastor.
Nope. I don't know if the pastor ever said that. That guy. I don't know if he ever said that. So there's that sort of odd connection that I thought of. Dougie's ring is gold. Mm-hmm. Not our first gold ring. Cooper's ring, season two, that he lost the giant, was a gold ring. Mm-hmm.
Also a golden circle.
Yeah. Also not our first item in a stomach. I believe the poker chip was found in Laura.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also not our first golden object of the return. We've had little gold shovels.
Little beady boys.
And the gold beads. That's three gold.
It's a gold objects. Ball.
As far as how the ring got in his stomach.
I mean, he had to eat it.
Well, I have a couple of thoughts on it.
It's an enema type
was it,
situation.
Was it up. A David Copperhead distraction to get the FBI focused on Vegas and away from him? Or was it Briggs? Or was it Briggs to leave a clue? But how the hell would he have gotten Dougie's wedding ring? Maybe he swapped the Alcave ring for it? Because how did Dougie get the Alcave ring?
I mean, that's just classic Dougie.
Or classic Briggs. It might be classic Briggs.
We call that pulling a Dougie on him.
Oh, yeah.
When you swap rings.
You know that song? Teach me how to Dougie.
Teach me how to Dougie.
It's about swapping people's rings.
I'm well aware.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think about that? Do you think it was a Boop thing? Or do you think it was a Briggs thing?
Bob Coop?
Which B do you go with? Yes.
I'm going Boop because I don't see Garland Briggs interacting with Dougie. I don't think Dougie Jones was a thing yet in the time that Garland Briggs was alive.
That's a good question. Let me bring that up. Let me propose that question to you. When do you think Dougie Jones became a thing?
Well, how old is Sonny Jim?
That's a good question, at least. I'm very bad at predicting kids' ages. I mean...
You have too.
Yeah, but they're not the age of
and
Sonny Jim.
And he has
Jim.
No idea how old they are.
And I have no idea how old. But they're not the age of Sonny Jim, so.
How old is Dougie?
I was saying 7 or 8 was my prediction for Sonny Jim.
I was about to say I would go with 8 for Sonny Jim.
7.5.
Sure. Lucky 7 insurance?
He was 7.
He's 7.
He's 7.
Done with that. Done.
I'm just gonna softball a number out there. I think Dougie Jones, as we knew him when we first encountered him, had been around for 15 years.
Okay. So that was
just the.
So 2001.
The carapace, and the personality.
Yeah.
I think the homunculus that is Dougie Jones.
Yes.
Has been around for 15 years.
Okay. All right. Tyler, you agree with that?
Did I miss something? Did I already know Dougie Jones?
No. We just...
This is all speculation.
All that you know so far is that what Mike, or Philip Gerard, I'm sorry, Philip Gerard said to Dougie in the Red Room was that you were manufactured for a purpose.
Yes.
So the question is, when was he manufactured?
I don't know. Check the label.
Do you think it was Briggs or do you think it was Boop that planted the ring there?
It's definitely Boop. Bob Coop.
Okay.
David Copperhead.
Look, Bob puts stuff in people's places.
Yeah.
It's his favorite thing to do. Yeah. I think this is just one of those things. And honestly, it could have happened at any time. This could have been done in the future. And then the body just floated through space-time and came back because time in the Twin Peaks universe, apparently. Not just in the town.
Still haven't cracked the code.
Still haven't cracked the code.
Solve the crime.
So in the time that Briggs was, you know, time traveling and going back in time and becoming a World War I Hellcat fighter pilot.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And going wherever LT went, he could have run into this Boop, just running around somewhere in the future. And he's like, hey, you know, it's going to really work out for me at some point in the timeline is if I sleight of hand, you know, blah. Now there's a ring in your stomach. Audio only listeners, what I did was
magic.
Gesture wildly with my hands and then do magic.
I just picture Briggs showing up at Dougie's bedside and like swapping the ring, putting the Hellcat ring on, and him just being like, he'll never notice. And Dougie waking up and be like, this is way cooler than my wedding ring. I like this ring now.
I like that you have enough faith in Garland Briggs that he could sneak into a man's bedroom.
Yep. I mean, his head just floats around in space.
Like, audibly narrating that whole situation. Yeah. Now I'm just going to take this ring
on my vast veranda. Things. And he'll never know that I was here.
We may think we know about the things that are ours, but we may find that in the sobering light of day, things are not as they once appeared.
This needs to be in the Garland Briggs spinoff series.
Yeah.
What's that watching?
I need this scene.
Is it filmed in front of a live studio audience?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Of course it is.
Anyway.
We're not past the morgue yet.
That's true. We're still in the morgue. I had a lot to think about when it came to that ring. It just brought up a lot of thoughts.
Yeah. I don't know if we strictly stated, but the coroner mentions that the owner of the body has not eaten anything in months, at least not any food, and then produces Dougie Jones's ring, which is inscribed to Dougie with love, Janie E, which is when we get Naomi Watts' actual character name for the first time without credits.
Right. Janie E.
Janie E.
Mm-hmm. You think we'll ever know what that no E stands things. For?
Evelyn.
Marsh. Oh, no. Oh, no. Let's go to jail.
Sure.
Love it. Take me there, Skitch.
We're going to lock up.
Yeah.
So Mr. C is chilling on his bed. Or cot, really.
Yeah, that was generous.
So he's laying there on an apparatus. And
I feel like he doesn't sleep.
No.
It's like that scene from the season 2 finale where he's like, I wasn't sleeping. The dude, he just doesn't sleep. Guy's awake 24/7.
Yeah. I don't think he needs to sleep.
He's a robot.
You guys watch 30 Rock?
Yes.
You know Kenneth?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You mean you don't ever go to your room and sit on your bed and wait patiently for the next day to start? I mean, sleep?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah.
Yes.
He's just laying there, and he just opens his eyes and said, and now food is coming. And here it comes.
I love that.
I've tried this so many times. It doesn't work for me.
No. You need a dark spirit within you.
If I could...
I'm telling you, he's a magician.
If I could have one special power, it would be to have a demon that lets me just say food is coming, and then there it comes.
This is where he looks in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a glimpse that Bob is still with him.
Well, we get some shots of the season two finale as well.
Yes, that's
with,
true.
Him laughing it up with Bob in the Red Room as the doppelganger.
In case you forgot.
Yeah.
So was he worried that he may have lost Bob in the car accident? Or is he just sort of confirming to us that Bob's still there in case we had any doubts?
I don't know why we need to confirm it, because as far as I knew, this was just Bob's body. Because this isn't Cooper. This is just the doppelganger Cooper.
Right.
That. So I'm trying to get a grasp on, I guess, the doppelganger and Bob's relationship. It's like, hey, man, can I ride you? It's like, yeah, you can wear me. That's weird, right?
Yeah.
So to just be.
Well, it's even weirder because this is the doppelganger and not the real Cooper.
Right.
Yeah. There's a lot of questions.
And
about how this works.
Yeah. So, and for him to like check the mirrors to say, you're still with me, that's good to see Bob there. It's like.
So I think maybe. Here's what I think, really. Not necessarily the car accident. I think maybe he thought. When he was trying to get pulled back into the Red Room, it's possible that maybe Bob would have gone back in at that time or something.
Maybe Bob got pulled out of
there. Yeah,
and
he just
there, yeah.
was confirming to himself that you're still here.
Okay, I guess that makes sense. I guess I was in the mindset that he and Bob were one and the same at that point. Like they had merged or something.
Sure.
Merge.
Mergic.
What is happening?
I don't know.
The show is nuts.
It really is.
But yeah, this does solidify that it's very much still Bob and the doppelganger in tandem working together here. What does Mike Nelson do?
He works at a used car dealership.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
washed up high school athlete. Definitely.
I felt like he was part of a like recruitment center or, you know, one of those temp agencies. Because he really goes in on this guy's resume. He's like, you need to clean this up because nobody's going to hire you.
He probably works in finance at the used car dealership.
Asking people if they need a ride.
Or he's a used car salesman, but I don't see Mike.
You need a ride? Just call Jade.
I also misspoke on our Patreon live stream. I said he was... running Windows XP. It's Windows 7, so I'm sorry.
Ooh,
all
gross.
The Windows fans out there, I'm so sorry.
You won't find a fan of Windows 7.
Yeah. But nice to see an old face.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. And wow. I love him in this scene because Steven's a piece of shit.
Steven is, and... Okay, so this...
Yeah,
this trash heap gets called in, and I say this because he is definitely styled to be a trash heap.
Sure,
I know this actor from something, but I can't nail it.
Well, it also goes against just what we've already heard, what little we've heard. I'm sorry about this character. Then in part two, when they're talking about him at the roadhouse with Shelley, and they're just like, "Steven's such a great guy." Like this guy, what?
This is Steven?
This guy?
This is the guy?
This is the guy you're gonna stand up for? No, he sucks.
Oh, Banshee, X-Men First Class.
Hmm.
Yes.
I don't know if I saw that one.
It's the best X-Men movie. Internet, fight me.
Wow. All right. Internet, challenge.
So, Mike Nelson calls in for Steven and basically says that his resume is awful. It's the worst he's ever seen. The forms aren't filled out completely.
Yeah.
And basically, he needs to get it together or nobody's ever going to hire him. It's a weird scene for me because, again, I don't understand what Mike Nelson's role is.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was a recruiter. I thought he was a temp agency guy.
Yeah. But he's clearly at some used car dealership. I don't even mean a used car. It's a car dealership. I just think it's a used car dealership.
Anyway, he sends him on his way. And under his breath, after Steven leaves the room, Mike calls him an asshole. Like, it didn't really do anything.
Well, it makes you wonder what he knows, because assuming he still knows, well, he still knows, that doesn't make sense. He knows Shelley.
Mm-hmm.
But assuming that he might know that Shelley's
that he's kept up daughter, with her.
Yeah, that he's kept up. Yeah. Maybe he already knows of him. I mean, we don't know. We don't know what Mike knows. So we, again, much like with anything in the show,
we may never know what Mike
knows.
We may never know.
We can only speculate. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
But this is to establish to us that this Steven character is on a bad path.
Yeah.
All right. Sheriff Station. Yeah. Frank Truman?
Yes.
Okay. On the phone with Harry Truman. Yes. I flip these in my head every time.
It's fine.
Well, I assume it's Harry Truman because he's asking him how he's doing and you know, how treatments are going.
Right, yeah.
And I noted Lucy warns him that his wife is coming in.
Which is pretty funny.
Like, not
but like,
not just gives him a heads Lucy up, not lets fashion. Him know, but like, yeah. Warning.
Yeah.
Doris is coming in. She is on her way to the deputy sheriff's office where he's hiding out.
Yeah.
She's got stuff to say, man.
She does. And it took me a few watches. I think I originally just sort of wrote this off a little bit like, man, she's just crazy and just sort of made you sympathize more for Frank. Mm-hmm. But there's actually a lot of stuff that she says here that actually relates to a lot of other things. I don't know if you guys picked up on anything.
No.
Lay it on me.
So she says she doesn't want her dad to get killed in that damn death trap car. Mm-hmm. That reminded me of Dougie's death trap car, mm-hmm. which is in this episode.
Yes.
And then obviously more car connections with the car dealership, even with Steven and Mike, even though not specifically cars, but it's just another car, just
cars.
Gets cars in your mind is all. Mm-hmm, is. Mm-hmm. She talks about the leaky pipe with water going everywhere. And Frank asks if she had a bucket under it, which reminded me of the bucket lady at the casino. Who had to go get Dougie a bigger bucket for all of his coins.
Log ladies. Great niece.
So are there connections to be made? I don't know. They're just things that reminded me of other things that, and especially the car stuff that happens in this episode, because they're all kind of back to back to back. But yeah.
You know, these are things I did not read into, but that does make sense, especially the bigger bucket thing.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, it's like, what?
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Again, not on a first watch. Easy to write off. Crazy ladies talking crazy nonsense. Mm-hmm.
But that's also what made me assaulted.
But the more I've seen this episode too, the more I've paid attention to just things like this. They'll just start sticking out to you. But yeah. So just stuff. It's just stuff to think about. Is all. Kind of like what you said. And I can't think of the example off. You said something in the. I think it was in part four where you were making connections to stuff, and it's just like, yeah, this is what this is. It's just putting the pieces together. So.
I think it was while I was trying to match bodies to heads.
Maybe, yeah. Oh, it was. I loved that conversation. That was great.
Yeah, I just wrote this off as her unloading a lot of misplaced aggression.
And I think it's that, too.
We're going to the Jones house.
Ooh.
The Joneses.
See what's up with the Joneses.
Yeah. We're going to keep up with the Joneses here.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Somebody had to say it.
That's right.
Dougie won, or Cooper, Cooper Doug, won $425,000.
And he was just short of 430.
Ugh.
I was so mad about that.
You hate to hear it.
Because of 430 being a giant clue. Mm-hmm. It's like, we were so close.
Almost had it. Almost had it together. So anyway, Janie E says that she is going to pay off whoever they're in debt to $50,000 out of the $425. So she set up an appointment. She's going to take care of it. Walks him out the door because, again, he doesn't know where to go at any point in time.
Yeah.
And for some reason, Cooper looks over at Sonny Jim sitting in the car and just starts to cry.
Yeah, he has a moment there.
Somebody go.
I think, kind of like what I said in the last episode, it's like he has this, it's like the family he never had. Mm. I think he, you know, it could be just that just triggering, like, man. Like, because it technically is his son. It's a part of him. If Dougie Jones is a part of all of this in relation to him, I mean, yeah.
But I think how? I thought he was just...
A clone?
No. Manufactured.
Manufactured, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he knows that either way, in the bigger picture, he has something to do with this.
Right.
See, I thought he looked at him.
And was just sad he didn't have a father anymore.
Oh, no, just like grossly disappointed in this job.
I don't think it's that.
That's but my that's, kid.
That's my legacy.
But that was sort of my take, is maybe he just had a moment just of emotion and then... Mm. And to show Janie E that he really cares.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to go back to the street where Dougie has left his car. I just called this the 119 road.
Nice.
And a
119.
A sick red ride drives by.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Scopes the car, moves along.
Mm-hmm.
And then a sick black ride comes along.
Oh, yeah.
Blasting music. Mm. Checks the car as well. I did note that they were red and black.
Yes. Good note. That's a great note.
So,
like the red room?
Correct. I was about to say red room. Okay. Yep. The next car would have been white.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. What color is Dougie's car?
Beige.
I think.
Champagne. Oh, is it beige?
Champagne.
I was going to say white, but is it beige?
I definitely think it's
okay.
The most boring, bland car.
Yeah.
It's a khaki-colored vehicle.
It's a Dougie car.
Yeah. It's like a Toyota Camry beige champagne.
They scope the ride they drive on. Going to the Lucky 7 insurance company where Janie E has taken Dougie to work. And she's just forcing him out of the car. And this is where she says, like, okay, you're having one of your episodes.
Yeah.
One of his episodes?
One of many.
Is there not a specialist that he goes to when this happens? Or does everybody just kind of push him through his day?
I think the latter.
Yeah. Also, speaking of Lucky 7 insurance, not our first mention of insurance this season. If you can think back to part one, there was a man that came into the sheriff's station talking about insurance to Lucy, looking for Sheriff Truman.
Mm, that's true.
Hmm. Tell me more.
He was selling insurance.
Interesting.
Dougie works at Lucky 7 insurance.
Get out! Oh, my God!
Leave.
Okay.
See ya.
Yeah, she drops him off.
Oh, my God.
That's perfect.
Pushes him out of the car, sends him on his way, and drives off. And this just kind of leaves him dazed and confused.
Doesn't know where he is.
Turning in the plaza. Eventually finds direction for himself. Just decides that the way to go is to follow the revolver that this statue is holding.
Yeah. It's pointing the right direction.
It is.
He needs to go.
It just happens to be. Another cool little reference here. There's a little fella that runs up with a stack of coffee in his hand.
Phil.
Yeah. Phil. We don't know his name's Phil yet, but right. It is Phil. Comes up and says that Dougie looks like he's in Dreamland.
Yes, another dream reference.
Man.
Another Dreamland reference.
Yeah, I feel like the last time I heard Dreamland was from the mouth of some person
floozy.
I don't care about.
Let's hear about it.
Is she sleeping?
I feel like it was
Dreamland.
Beta Donna.
It was not Beta Donna.
Was it not? No, it was Laura.
Nope.
Dave,
was it?
Dave had it.
Blackie.
It was Blackie. From the Black Lodge? No, from One Eye Jacks.
No, from One Eye Jacks. In reference to Audrey.
Black Rose?
Being drugged.
Not Blue Rose. Black Rose. Blackie.
You were there.
Candy's dandy. Huh?
I really.
Candy's dandy, no?
I'm going to get back to you on this.
Okay.
He's going to go do a rewatch of season 1 and 2.
Or you could go into our extensive backlog of Talking Backwards episodes and catch up for yourself. Anyway, yeah, he says he's in Dreamland, passes him by, and still being Cooper, follows the coffee.
Yeah. That's how you do it.
Like a zombie, though. Like zombie walking, arms out.
It's a good call, yeah. Dougie. It's a good call.
Going for it. On the elevator, he ends up taking one of the coffees off the stack from Phil. He's like, oh, here, you can have Frank's. And this pays off so well.
It does.
So, first of all, it's another Frank.
Yep. It's another double.
But secondly, he's like, oh, yeah, hit it. That wasn't forced. That's just there.
That's right.
Yeah.
So he says he can have Frank's and he says, it's fine. I have an extra green tea latte. You can have that.
Yeah. Gross.
No, I love it. I love this so much. So he takes it, he starts drinking the coffee. It says,
damn good Joe, huh, Dougie?
Damn good Joe.
It's all, coming back around.
Yeah, damn
good. Damn fine.
Love it.
So Dougie, who's more focused on coffee than walking, is making his way into the room when some chump grabs him from behind.
Yeah, a chump. That's a great way to describe this guy.
Axel Pally and starts shaking him and grabbing him. He's like, hey, he's back. Hey, how you doing? He's
like, what does he say? Like another weekend at Bendersville?
Yeah.
Well, we need to talk about that. Mm-hmm. So something we didn't talk about.
A lot of shaking going on in Benders.
That's what I was going to bring up. Something we didn't bring up in the last episode, but when the FBI goes to prison to see David Copperhead, mm-hmm. We see his mugshot in prints, and his address is 6147 Bend Drive.
Bend, Oregon.
Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Mm. Also, a whole lot of shaking going on in Bend.
Mm-hmm.
Bend. Also, sometimes my arms bend back.
Mm.
Also, my brain is bending, thinking about all this shit.
Never heard that phrase before.
It's in episode 43.
I'm a little skeptical.
Look it up. No, so I just, what it all means, I have no idea. But again, connections to be made.
Yeah, Benders and Bending.
Bendersville.
And Bends. My dog's name is Bender. David Lynch is from Bend, Oregon.
And you're in the Twin Peaks universe. Yep.
There's not an episode 43.
Did you look at the past stats?
So yeah, anyway, he says that he covered for him and he owes him. Basically, this chump does.
Yeah.
So in the conference room, Dougie Cooper is still slugging down Frank's coffee, whose name is written on it.
Yep.
And Frank is shocked and appalled.
Can't believe it.
What the hell, Phil?
Frank's an asshole.
But Phil gives him a green tea latte. And he's like, do you want that? It's like, well, yeah, give it to me. I'll try it. Takes a sip and looks around with the biggest smile on his face. Like he just found his new favorite thing in the world.
I love that.
<It's> like, <"Ooh." laughs>
That's so great.
It's like, don't tell anybody.
Yeah, he like looks around like, is anybody seeing me drinking this?
I really like it.
Like Jacoby with a secret, just sipping this green tea.
Yeah.
So good. Also green tea.
Yeah, green. I was going to bring that. I have a note about that because there's a green light that we see when Dougie is, mm-hmm. you know, signaled to make a comment. And Dougie's jacket is green.
Mm-hmm.
Green ring. Green tea.
Green jacket.
Jade
ring.
Gives two rides.
Mm-hmm. Two.
Right.
What? Unbelievable.
Just stacks on stacks.
Jake, give two rights.
Dougie Coop. We're sitting down at the table now. Finally, Phil is this guy's saving grace.
Phil Bigsby.
Yeah, he leads him into the elevator. He gets him into the room. He gets him to sit down. Later, he gets him off the elevator. He's just a real guiding light, this Phil.
He is a guiding light. That's a great way to describe him. He's Dougie's guiding light.
So they're sitting at the table, and they're kind of going over the updates on cases. Chump Man's Littlefield case, he says, is not arson. They need to honor the payout for the insurance claim. And there's a little glint of light on his face that Cooper sees.
Green light.
Is it a green light?
It looked green to me.
I think it's just a light.
A jade light?
It's a jade light.
Jade light. Neon light. Anyway, there's light on his face, and Cooper looks up from his coffee and just says, he's lying.
I love that. He's lying. I love that.
This makes the room tense.
It does.
Like,
you calling me a liar, Dougie?
Pretty good. That was pretty good.
The case is legit.
He is a liar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He sucks.
He is a steaming pile.
Regular old Chad Broxford.
Anyway, this leads Cooper to be called into the top brass's office in here.
Oh, yeah.
I meant to take a note of the poster on the wall, but
we need to talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
So he gets taken into his boss's office, mm-hmm. Bushnell Mullins, mm-hmm. Our second Mullins of the Twin Peaks universe, behind Tyler Mullins. Sorry, Tyler, you're in the Twin Peaks universe.
I am. That related is, to this man.
It's true. You've got the Battling Bud poster somewhere around here.
I do.
Yeah. He was a boxer, fighter back in his day. Talk about him. You want to talk about it?
It's too painful.
Too painful. Okay. He's still alive, so. All right, whatever.
Tommy hears the boxer, he just sheds a tear.
That's the story. Quick shout out, Hot Topic has the poster on a shirt if you want one.
Great. So,
quick shout out.
Use this code and we'll get 10%.
There's no code.
There's no code.
Walk into the store and say, talking backwards, and they'll...
Oh, yeah, take it. It's free.
Oh, anyway. So, yeah, there's a poster on the wall.
Yeah,
that's great. All I got.
It's amazing.
But, yeah, he basically calls him out for calling one of his best agents a liar, saying that he closes more cases in a day than Dougie does in a month.
Agent.
So he gives him some homework. Wants him to go over these case files.
Case files.
I do have in my notes, just in quotes, agent, case files.
Argent?
Urgent.
And next is potty emergency.
Another one. So interesting thing about, this girl, we didn't talk about it before.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she sits down to this guy when they're in that meeting.
A Darren, I believe.
Darren. Mm-hmm. And what does she say? Like, oh, you're married or whatever? She's mean about it. Like
he's trying to...
He's hitting on her.
He's hitting on her. Yeah. I don't know why I couldn't find those words.
Yeah, he's hitting on her.
He's hitting on her. And she says something to him like, why don't you go ask your wife about it?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. So then why is she so into like, she's to Dougie, she's like, maybe you get a kiss or whatever. I'm like, what? What is this relationship?
She's like, you know, I was thinking maybe I'd let you kiss me.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, he's hunkering.
Yeah.
And, you know, and shaking.
I have to go to the bathroom.
Regular old Bobby Briggs over here.
She sneaks him into the ladies' room.
Yeah.
But obviously they don't kiss because the man's about to wet himself. So she just sends him in there, listens to him pee, and loves it.
Yeah.
So maybe...
Sound like a cow peeing on a flat rock.
What? I think it's a pee thing. I think she's into pee stuff.
All right.
Golden shower lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's her... I don't even know her character name.
Golden shower lady.
In the correct...
GSL.
GSL.
GS lady. is what it says in the credits.
DB player. GS lady.
Let's go to the casino.
Sure.
That's...
Silver Mustang Casino,
mm-hmm.
where not Paul Giamatti has...
Right.
Has his days numbered.
Yeah, he knows it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
He's staring at the wall of monitors.
So in come these two local toughs. I don't know if they're local, but maybe they're nationwide.
The Mitchum Brothers.
The Mitchum Brothers, Robert Knepper.
And Jim Belushi.
Boom. But they're not alone. Over on the wall, we've got...
A fly.
Candy. Sandy. And Mandy.
Mandy?
Oh, I have them down as the Babe Patrol. Babe Patrol. They question how much they lost, and...
Well, before that, our second Candy, Twin Peaks. And we didn't point it out in the last episode. The lady with Bill Shaker, her name was Candy, although spelled C-A-N-D-Y. And this one is spelled C-A-N-D-I-E.
How do you know that?
Credits!
That's how you know she's...
It's a double. Did you say a fly?
Yes, like 10 minutes ago.
I know, I'm just realizing it. It comes up later.
Great.
So the Bay Patrol watches on as these guys question the manager how much has been lost. And it was $425,000.
Yeah. Which I feel like...
deserves a gut punch or two.
Yeah, but it's not like a loss. Like, I mean, it's a loss. It's not like...
That's almost $500,000.
It's not going to bankrupt a casino.
I don't think they count on losing that ever.
Right. Especially but they could afford night. To.
I don't know.
Well, sure. The casino will probably be fine, but nobody ever wants that to be a thing.
Listen.
It is not designed for that to happen.
Nobody ever wants to lose money.
Punch in the gut.
I remember in 2008.
You're getting punched in the gut.
Yeah, we all remember 2008.
We had a mild recession.
It was mild. Anyway, I love the Mention Brothers. I'm just going to say that.
Robert Knepper
and Jim Belushi.
Well, they beat him down and have him dragged over to Jim Belushi, who tells him to leave town. Then the squirrely boy gets a promotion.
Yeah, poor guy. I wouldn't want to be in that spot.
Yeah, it's like, you have his job now. It's like, I don't want it.
Like, no. You will better not let this man come in here. If you do, you need to let us know.
If you need me, I will be at the Mike Nelson Temp Agency.
Ooh, that's a shirt.
That is. Well, let's go back to the 119 road.
119!
Drug mom's out cold.
This is not the same scene from part 3.
No. Are you sure?
Yes.
How do you know?
She's on a different side of the table.
Maybe that's just continuity error.
I don't think so.
There's one thing I know about David Lynch. He's sloppy.
It's not the same. I just want to point out, it's not the same thing.
So since she's passed out and not minding her child, little man decides he's going to run across the street.
Little brother man?
Little brother man. He runs over to investigate the car, Dougie's car, and starts kind of feeling around for the device he saw get put under there. And then the black car comes back up.
Yeah.
Quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Oh, yeah.
Tell him, get out of here, you little scamp. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Those words exactly. And
I thought I heard him say that.
They proceed to try and steal the car, and as expected.
Bad news.
Yeah.
Explodes.
So this is also where I caught myself, because in one of our earlier episodes, when the device gets put on the car, I immediately said it was a bomb. Mm-hmm. And I think you guys were like, it could be a tracker.
Yeah.
And I was like, did I spoil
it? Damn.
Because I wasn't thinking really about it, you know? So I'm trying to be careful about
spoilers. I guess it could be a tracker.
Oh, yeah, you guys are right. It's a tracker.
It could be.
So,
well,
sorry.
What do you know?
Sorry if I ruined it.
To be fair, it does not look like a bomb at all. It looks very much like a tracker.
Yeah. But now you know why my mind went there.
Because you knew.
Because I knew.
Foreknowledge.
Right. Yes.
Forehead knowledge. I'll try to do better.
Yeah, explodes. And they die.
Yeah.
Little man runs off.
Little brother.
The other two guys with the black car run off because they didn't explode.
No.
They weren't in it.
No.
They're out of there.
So, yeah. So they book it.
And furious.
They book it, little man books it, and then we switch gears a little bit and go to the car wash.
Oh, yeah. With Jade?
With Jade.
Is she working at the car wash?
Nope.
She's getting her car washed.
And in her car, they found a room key. Let's see.
What kind of room key?
You got a John in Washington.
Who's John?
Found this in your
John
car.
John Justice Wheeler?
Probably.
John Justice Wheeler Heimerschmidt.
John being a common name for people looking to buy houses, since she's a realtor.
She's like, oh, Dougie.
And it says drop in any mailbox and it'll find its way back. And there just happens to be a USPS drop box. Right over the way. Mine is at home.
Do you want to use mine?
Yeah.
Green keychain.
Green chain?
Green chain.
No, I'm not going to throw it. These are roads.
Well, I hope it makes it back.
So it's on its way, at least. You guys hungry?
Always.
Let's go to the double R.
I love the double R.
I love the double R. And
I
know,
love being here.
We know for sure it's the double R because Norma's here.
And Shelly's here.
And Shelly's here.
And I love Shelly.
Feels like old times.
It feels like old times.
It does feel like old times.
I think Heidi was in the background.
It's always great to see the double R.
Yeah.
But especially so, seeing that it's kept up, that it's got the exact same staff.
Yeah. And nothing's changed.
There's been no turnaround.
So a few months ago, we got through Firewalk with Me and the Missing Pieces, and I had this ridiculous moment where I texted Dave because this sort of blew my mind because I didn't put it together at all with this part, because it's not like this character is really in the forefront of this scene at all,
mm-hmm.
but it's the cook.
Yeah.
And
William
I found
H. Macy.
Well, yes, William H. Macy, yes, as they put it. Yes. Whoa, I like that a lot.
Nailed it.
But and I'm not sure about I don't think in the missing pieces, I feel like the credits just list names and not necessarily characters, like just the actors' names. Mm. Just in order. I could be wrong, but I think that's what it does. But anyway, not important here. It's just important that this character or this actor is credited as Toad, which is our second Toad of the series. Because I think
it's kind
of
weird.
Well, Norman, I know, because the other Toad was pretty recognizable. We know he wasn't a cook. He just sometimes liked to eat in the kitchen when someone would throw him back there. When Hank was shining up the place real nice. Yeah. Toad, go eat in the back. This is not that Toad.
Nope, different Toad.
But
I
couldn't
lose a lot of weight and age a lot.
But this blew, But this blew my mind. I texted Dave because I was just like, "This is another Toad."
Yeah,
like, this is wild.
You sent me a screenshot of the guy.
Yeah, I was like, "He's from... in The Return." I was like, "I didn't even put this together that David Lynch went out of his way to get the same actor."
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, this episode is dedicated in his memory at the end in the credits. Mm-hmm. Marv Rosand.
Yes.
He passed away shortly after this was filmed, like within weeks, which is insane. So rest in peace, Toad 2. So who do we meet here?
We have Amanda Seyfried.
Not the first time she's been mentioned on our podcast.
Correct.
She was mentioned in part one when Dario walked on screen.
When not Amanda Seyfried, you showed up. Yeah.
Yes. Which I knew you knew, but yeah. I knew Tyler didn't know. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, oh, that's good. I knew that was a good line.
So we had not Amanda Seyfried. Now we have yes Amanda Seyfried.
Yes,
and she comes in with a basket of goodies. So this is Becky, and after she drops off the bread with Toad, she goes over and meets Shelley at the counter. They chat for a bit, mm-hmm. Indistinct in the background as Norma watches. Shelley ends up giving her some cash after a short chat.
Mm. Norma's got that, like, not again look.
Mm-hmm.
Not again.
And Shelley's kind of got that not again look, too.
Yeah, that's true.
They send her off. Ostensibly, this is Shelley's daughter.
Yes. Becky, I believe, is credited as Becky Burnett in the credits, which is the last name of Stephen Burnett.
And Carol.
And Carol.
And Carol.
Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
Norma comes over to Shelley, and they just kind of wax about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
it's like for us, it's like sad situation, but man, it's so great seeing Norma and Shelley like together again on screen.
Yeah.
Like, how cool is this?
Yeah, it is wonderful.
It's so cool.
I almost took a picture of the two of them together.
I love
watching it yesterday and sent it to you guys. Yeah. Just like goddesses
for real.
Set it up as my phone background.
Aged gracefully. It's amazing.
Very much so.
Love it.
So great to see them together again. Obviously, Shelley's daughter's in a bad way. This is the 7th time in 10 days.
Is that what she said?
I think so.
Are you sure it's not the 10th time in 7 days?
Oh, that's a lot.
I think it's the 7th time in 10 days. Mm. Unless I'm misremembering something and getting something crossed. But it's getting more frequent.
Yes.
That she's giving her money. And they just don't know what to do about it.
And she needs to get a job.
For sure. And Steven needs to get a job.
Steven needs to get a job.
For sure. We'll see.
So gets in a car with Steven. And they pull away and do some drugs.
Yeah.
I want to point this out. Something I noticed. It's just a small thing, but it's too weird to be.
I hate this.
Something I noticed up here, these people that are walking. just watch them right
just
here.
Just turn it towards Dave.
Yeah. So this is the second he starts the car.
This is Becky and Steven sitting in the car.
Second he starts it, they stop.
And start walking backwards.
Not talking backwards, like the name of this podcast. They start walking backwards.
Let's
watch it again.
Hate that. Roll that back.
So unnatural.
Oh. So these are just background characters in this shot. In the upper left corner.
But it's literally the second he starts the car.
Yeah. And it's like the footage stutters and they... That's got to be green screen, right?
Yeah. Right, yeah. I don't think it was actually that. It's not like they were like, as soon as the car starts, walk backward.
Well, why couldn't it be like that?
I know, why couldn't it be like that?
Do you think they didn't shoot enough B-roll? They're like, all right, let's just...
Why would it be...
Extend it by playing...
Why would it be important to put that in there?
I mean, I know you know, probably.
I don't.
But I don't have the answers. Right.
Other than just backwards being a theme in the show.
Mm-hmm.
But that's so subtle.
Yeah.
And like,
what does it mean? What the hell? What does
it mean? It's weird, right? It's weird.
I don't like that. No. I mean, I love it,
but I
don't like it.
Well, now it's just one of those things you're going to see every time you watch that scene.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry.
He's not sorry.
Okay.
Definitely not. Well, now I know about that.
Yep. So they do drugs.
Yep.
Remind me again why she's pissed.
Because Steven hasn't gotten a job.
Because he hasn't gotten the job, and just because he's got more drugs.
Because they're mooching off
Shelley.
Oh,
you know how...
But he keeps doing all the drugs.
Yeah, he did all of the drugs that he was... Yeah.
Every of the drugs.
Like, what they do is the last of the drugs.
Is this the Chinese designer drugs
that have been... Very possibly.
...coming across...
The known routes.
The known trails from Bobby Briggs. Not the unknown trails. Mm-hmm. Well could be.
When little Denny Craig OD'd.
That's right. I do love the shot after Becky takes the drugs. She looks up. It reminds me a lot of the Laura Red Room, like almost just in the way it's framed with like, mm-hmm. above her head. So that's what I kind of immediately thought of. But I also, the first time I watched this, I had the worst fear that...
There
was going to be a car crash.
I was positive.
Oh no. I was like, this is the next Laura Palmer or something. Mm-hmm. Like, this is just, there's going to be a new death, like something crazy.
New tragedy,
yeah. And there would be all these like mysteries around that, but then it just cuts.
Yeah.
It cuts away.
No, she's just having a euphoric episode and it's a very unsettling shot.
And like smiling.
Yeah. Smiling and the wind's blowing and the car's driving and the music.
Yeah.
I was just positive this was going to end in a crash.
For sure. It definitely made you feel that way.
Yeah. Mercifully, it doesn't. But I was just so nervous.
Well, it was much like even the 119 kid earlier, thinking, man, he was going to get blown up with that
car. He was
going
to get exploded.
I was like,
yeah.
Oh, no. But then it didn't happen.
Yeah. Yep, the kid did not die. Lucky 7 insurance.
Hmm. We're back.
We're back. It's the end of the workday. And... the elevator opens and Coop is right there at the very front with his back to the opening and does not move. Once again, we got to have Phil help him out. And he just kind of gets caught at the statue again.
Yeah.
Stares at it, examines it, touches it.
Oh, yeah.
Just enthralled.
Fun times.
Any fucking weird shit in the background I should know about here?
I'll pay attention more next time.
All right. Then let's go to the sheriff's station.
No, never mind.
Well, no.
You see the security guard in the background earlier, when Janie drops him off in the background behind like where the statue is and everything, there's I think 3 red balloons hanging.
Yes.
And there's, I don't know if there's 3, but there's definitely at least 1 red balloon laying in the floor of the 119 house.
Mm.
Don't know what it means, but probably. Maybe it's it. I don't know.
Probably it.
That's... Not sure. But anyway, there's that.
If there was a Pennywise in the background of one of these shots, I would actively poop myself.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd quit life. I'd just be done.
You're done.
All right, let's go to the sheriff's station.
Please.
It's a pretty uninvolved scene.
Yes.
Just got Andy and Hawk going through some evidence for a while.
Yeah.
Till Andy reaches a conclusion.
Which is? The impression. Let's hear it.
It's a damn fine line.
Hawk? Have you found any Indians? Anywhere? I haven't found any Indians.
Damn fine.
Did you see any Indians?
No, Andy.
That's going to sound
that
great.
Was really good. I'm kind of worried that you're not getting paid for these Andy impressions.
Yeah, they're very good.
Well, don't worry. I'm not getting paid for these Andy impressions. But that's that.
Yep.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Jacoby's trailer.
Yeah.
Dr. Amp. It's 7 o'clock.
It's time.
Do you know where your freedom is?
That's my damn fine line.
It's 7 o'clock. Do you know where your freedom is?
Damn fine.
I just couldn't believe that this is what this was building up to, for one. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Just no idea. Tyler, your reactions were so good because you initially thought in your first watch of this episode that the gold shovel was just the gold shovel coming up and him hitting it.
Yeah.
Like in this and not seeing the actual great reveal later of the shovel your way out of the shit and all of that. Cause you were like, oh, that's what it was. Oh, screw that. You're like, I'm done. But then you came back in and you were pulled back in.
I can't note Dr. Amp without just transcribing his rant.
Yeah. Let's hear some of it.
It's out of control. It's out of control.
It is.
And it makes absolutely perfect sense that Nadine Hurley is watching this.
So is Jerry Horn.
So is Jerry Horn, yes. But Nadine is watching.
She's the target demographic.
This. Yes. It is perfect. So when I had the biggest smile on my face when she popped up, I was like, yes.
Yep. If we're bringing her back, this is the way to do it. Yeah,
I love that. So much.
So this is a propaganda podcast slash infomercial.
Yeah. Is this just like...
It's like it's probably a radio show. It's
PBS.
Also, it's on PBS. Yeah. Right before the Uncharted Zone with Phil Thomas Catt. It's on at like 2 a.m.
That's a deep cut.
Yep.
Great.
Yep. For all the PTK fans out there.
Yeah, Dr. Amp is incredible. It's amazing.
It's so good.
Just and his production value is on point. The lighting the lamp of liberty.
Lighting the lamp of liberty.
And then he literally lights a lamp of liberty.
He does.
He just turns around and clicks on a little lamp with the Statue of Liberty in it.
Patreon subscribers for $250, I will send you a lamp of liberty.
Yeah, it's got to exist, right?
I mean, maybe.
I mean, there's at least one.
Well, we have to praise Russ Tamblyn for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's so great in this scene. And I feel, to me, I feel like this is a very Mark Frost thing. I know Mark Frost is...
a radio pirate?
Mark Frost is a radio pirate. No, but at least with like... The politics side of it, just, and especially just from following Mark Frost on Twitter, I get the vibe that this was a very Mark Frost scene for sure. You guys know, even just from reading The Secret History, I just feel like a lot of this comes from that.
I love during the rant, he's just listing off a bunch of bad things.
Yeah.
It's like brush fires, cancer. Where are the cops when you need them? Emphysema.
Also, he's drinking huckleberry juice.
Huckleberry extract?
Not to be confused with the blackberry from earlier in the
episode. Is that the connection you're making?
There's another one.
To the Pentagon.
To the Pentagon.
I don't know.
I just want to say how great it is to see a Ghostbuster in Twin Peaks.
Ernie Hudson
is here. I love it.
It's great. And he's great as Colonel Davis.
Which I think, don't know for sure, but I at least would like to think that that is a nod to Don Davis, who plays Major Briggs, given the context of the scene. I think that is a nice nod to Don Davis.
I hope so, because that is lovely.
I do too. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
All I could think about after watching the scene was where the hell Major Briggs showed up those 16 times in all of those years, those prints in that time frame.
Has it been Briggs every time?
I would think so. I think he's just been...
This is the 16th hit across several locations, apparently.
Right.
This time it's in Buckhorn.
Mm. Which is our, didn't bring it up before, our second buck of the series. Yeah, where the hell has he been popping up?
Cherry Town, man.
Dude's head's floating in space. Where has he been? Showing up.
I don't know.
He's touching all the walls. Yeah. So we get this information about the prince from an operative named Cindy, and she's going to book a first-class flight to Buckhorn to investigate this hit.
Yeah?
Now I'm going to assume it's about 9:30.
We heading to the roadhouse?
I mean, it has to be. So I love this because Tyler, the last episode was like, we're just going here for no reason, just to hear some music. Nothing happens. And I was like, you just wait. You just wait because shit happens here and it freaks me out.
Something
this is scary shit.
Yeah. This is bad.
It's very bad.
It's not just scary. It's bad.
I don't like this guy.
Angle face?
Don't like it.
It's
not a fan.
Anglais. Yeah.
So the more this plays out, I think Bobby's not the crooked cop.
Bobby?
Bobby's not the crooked cop.
Never was.
Chad is the crooked cop.
Now I thought Chad fell down.
No. We're talking about Deputy Chad Broxford.
Oh. You're
remember?
Right. Yep.
Remember him?
Yeah.
Yeah. He sucks.
Mm.
Who fell down?
Chad.
That thing you do. You remember Bobby Briggs?
Vaguely.
He had all his trails covered?
Sure.
Well, he didn't know about Chad. Yeah.
He doesn't know about Chad. He doesn't know about the roadhouse. And he doesn't know about some dirty dealings.
Yeah, I think this might be that unknown trail.
So we're at the roadhouse, and there's a booth along the wall where Angle Face is sitting, smoking by no smoking sign. Just a real off-putting looking dude.
Yeah, he sucks.
The manager comes by and says he's going to have to ask him to stop smoking. Gestures toward the obvious sign. It's great.
I thought it was decor.
And just being a dick. Guy says, make me. Real tough character this one. But yeah, here comes Officer Chad. Galumphing up. Says, I'll take care of this.
Sure.
Ask him for a smoke.
Yeah.
Give him the whole pack. Full of cash.
Full of cash. Full of cash. You can buy 30 cartons with that much cash.
Something's not right.
Something's not right here.
Mm-mm. Something's afoot.
So this is about drugs.
I mean,
yeah.
Maybe Chinese designer
drugs? Maybe Chinese designer drugs. This is drug things.
Yeah, drugs.
But
I remember back in my day, and they would toss a football full of drugs.
Sure.
Instead of these.
They would toss a football full of drugs.
Cancer sticks.
They would. You're right.
Yeah, times they are a-changing.
They are changing in the town of Twin Peaks.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys.
Tell me.
I got beef.
Oh,
God. Oh. I got beef.
Let's hear it.
After this transaction takes place, Chad walks away. There's a table of young ladies adjacent to Angle Face.
Directly.
Young lady turns around
with
a cigarette in her hand.
Yeah.
Asks him for a light.
Mm-hmm.
Got a light?
Says, come get it. Lures her over to the booth. She sits next to him, not across from him.
Oh, my gosh. These are the worst couples. Who go to a restaurant and sit next to each other. You want to sit on a couch? You go to rooms to go.
I got beef.
Oh, man.
I got beef.
It's a couch, not a booth. I mean, it's a booth.
All right. I got beef. I got beef with Patrick's beef.
Understood?
Let's press on.
And I accept it.
That's not my beef.
Oh. Wow.
Continue, please.
She sits next to him, not across from him, and he puts her in a grab.
Oh, yeah.
uncomfortable.
Gets her name. It's Charlotte. Mm-hmm. While he basically has her in a strangle slash grope hold, there's a table of people on either side of this table.
Yes.
This is obviously a bad thing that's happening. This is
good beef.
An assault.
Yep.
Yeah.
Her table of friends look on in horror and do nothing.
Right.
Right.
The table right behind him, there's a gentleman, who looks over his shoulder, sees what's happening, kind of smirks, and goes back to his business.
More like a scoundrel.
There's also an establishment full of people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And not one person here beats this guy's ass.
No.
Yeah, it sucks.
He is borderline raping her in the booth.
Yes.
And nobody's lifting a finger. That's my beef.
It's good beef.
It's great.
Can't argue with it.
USDA certified.
I had beef.
Dude is psychotic. Not a fan. Did we catch his name?
Didn't drop it.
Matthew.
He didn't toss it.
McConaughey's. I don't know.
But Dave, you were smart. Tyler didn't catch it. First credits watch.
Stupid idiot.
Dave caught it right away. I'll never forget it because we watched this part together and Dave was looking at the credits and he just goes, "Who's Richard Horn?" It's like, yeah, it's a good one.
That's why I don't watch the credits.
Who's Richard Horn? One thing I love about that, it's Horn is, that's a very, very prominent last name in the town of Twin Peaks. We know a lot of Horns.
Also, they give you his name in the credits. It's not just booth guy.
No, not at all.
Or smoking guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They give you his name. It's like,
if you don't know the actor's name, you got to look that up. Be like, oh man, who is Richard Horn?
Yeah, it's like, who is that?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's on purpose that they name him Dick.
Yes.
Because he is
100%.
And it is, and then it also plays in, maybe, could be a red herring, a red room herring, or maybe not, but it is a Richard that we also have already heard in this return from the giant, or should I say 7 questions to Coop with Richard and Linda.
Dick and Linda Tremaine?
Maybe. Time will tell.
Still waiting. Still waiting on the Morgans to show up.
This is not where we end, though.
No. Surprisingly.
Yeah, surprisingly, this episode does not end at the Roadhouse. That's what I love, too. You get so accustomed to the show ending at the Roadhouse. Mm-hmm. Now, here we go.
We're actually far from done with this one.
Yeah.
At FBI HQ, I assume.
Sure.
And Langley.
Yeah. Yeah. Tammy Preston is going over some photos of Coop and Mr. C and their fingerprints. And apparently there's some device in her neck that just keeps her head tilting left to right through the entire scene.
Verified. TP.
Can't quite wrap her head around what she's looking at.
Yeah.
And no matter what angle she's tilting, she can't piece together what it is she's
something's
seeing here.
Off.
I think she has weak neck muscles.
Yeah, there's something off about the fingerprints and the faces that she's going through. I will say also the photo of Coop is a season 1/2 photo.
Still.
It's an oldie.
I think it's him in the conference room at the sheriff's station.
Took a snapshot from the original TV show.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And we're back to jail. Mr. C's waiting on his phone call. Warden Murphy brings him a phone.
You know he's going to call?
Well,
Mr. Blackberry.
Close.
Mr. Elderberry.
Close. We'll go with Strawberry.
Ah.
Well, should he call Mr. Strawberry?
I don't think so.
No. I don't believe he will call Mr. Strawberry.
I don't believe he will.
As he's saying this, he's looking into the security camera where the warden and a couple of other guys are watching. This guy sit at this table with his phone. And
Warden Murphy is having quite the reaction to the mention of Mr. Strawberry.
Yeah. We don't know who Mr. Strawberry is, but apparently this is somebody he does not want to hear about.
I don't want to hear about him.
For whatever reason, he's probably not taking calls. So Mr. C's not
going to... taking any calls.
He's not going to call Mr. Strawberry.
Does that mean Mr. Strawberry is dead?
I don't know. I know that strawberries are black and red. Third berry of the episode.
Third berry of the episode.
Anyway, he proceeds to dial a very long number.
Country code. Plus
44.
I think he was just pressing buttons. I think he was just taking a stab in the dark. Just like, maybe this will work.
I mean, it works.
It definitely worked.
Whatever it is that he did, whatever number he dialed, makes the alarms go haywire.
Yeah.
He still holds the phone to his ear as there's just alarms going off and screens are flickering and everything.
Another wall of monitors?
Yeah, another wall of monitors.
One of them goes to a cooking show. Mm-hmm. The cooking with strawberries?
Or blackberries. Maybe.
Or huckleberries.
I'm your huckleberry.
Whatever it is, it must be very good. Boo.
Boo.
Just awful.
He says into the phone, the cow jumped over the moon. And then hangs up, and everything stops.
But.
Love it.
What the hell was that?
What did he do? Yeah.
Yeah, nobody knows.
Like, he hacked the security system. I have no idea.
Yeah, everybody in the booth is saying, how is he doing this? What is he doing?
What is he doing? Yeah. They don't even know how to stop it.
He's a magician.
That's what I was going to say. It's the magic.
It's that David magic.
David? It's that David.
It's magic.
It's the David Cooperhead merger.
Merging. Bob Coop.
So you remember from the very beginning that a text was sent to Argent.
I recall it.
That made a box light up.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that box, yes.
Yes.
Seen it before.
And then as soon as this phone call ends, we go back to Buenos Aires.
Yes, don't cry for me.
To the same box, which flashes again.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, melts immediately?
Into a gold ball.
It's a gold ball.
Into a gold ball.
What the hell?
I love that.
Yeah, that was great.
And that's that. Immediately after, we just get Coop at the statue again outside of Lucky 7 Insurance. A patrol guard comes along and tells him to move along.
Move along.
And he doesn't. He just stays at the statue. And then credits.
Yeah. That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
The end. This is a part, it's interesting to me. It's actually one that I feel like I've dismissed myself in rewatches, but it's actually good. I think it's gotten better for me. And again, even just me pointing out the weird backwards thing earlier, I'm starting to catch some things, you know, on some multiple rewatches. But it's good, other than the fact that the town of Twin Peaks has just gone to shit. The youths, man. What are we going to do about the youths?
The youths.
Richard Horn, he sucks. Steven, he sucks. Other than that, Kyle MacLachlan, he's just killing it as Dougie and as Mr. C. Dude's playing variety of roles here. I loved the Lucky 7 shenanigans. Kind of seeing where he works. So that was the first thing. It's like, you know, when Janie's like, oh, we're going to take you to work. My first watch, I was like, where does he work?
Like, McDonald's.
Yeah, where does Dougie work?
He's a line cook at Waffle House.
Yeah. So it was fun to just see that because you didn't know what you were going to get into. Again, it's just the return. You don't know what you're getting into every week.
Yeah.
But this is a fun part other than Richard Horn.
I have so many questions and a couple of connections. It's like, it's confusing and it's scary and it's amazing.
Right.
Between like Bob in the Mirror and Dr. Amp.
Yeah.
And the Buenos Aires box.
Yeah. Fun. Confusing. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Fun.
All of the above.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know. This one's got me twisted up.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's still very, very good. And I never didn't enjoy what I was seeing.
Yeah.
In some fashion. Like, I didn't enjoy seeing the couple in the car. right. shot with the people going yeah. backwards. That was new for me.
Right.
And I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah.
But it, and I mean, this is Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
This is just a very Twin Peaks episode.
Yeah, that for sure.
True.
Yeah. And great, it's you sitting in the car is just like, yeah, and the double R here. It's the first time seeing the double R this season. It's amazing.
The show is progressing, but it's stalled. And it's good.
Which shouldn't make sense.
None of that makes sense.
Right.
But I feel like I learn a lot and nothing.
Sure. That couldn't be more well put.
It's very frustrating.
Well, I'm sure you guys have some unanswered questions.
Oh, yeah, of course. We have some unsolved mysteries, but we'll have the answers.
Unsolved mysteries.
So this is the segment where Patrick's going to pose some questions, some unsolved mysteries from the episode, and Tyler and I will give him definitive answers.
Who is Mr. Strawberry?
So,
Daryl,
you already know Mr. Peanut.
Yeah.
It's Mr. Strawberry. It's Little Strawberry.
That's right. You ever wondered why Mr. Peanut was single? Because Mr. Strawberry stole his wife.
Yep. So Mr. Strawberry and Miss Peanut have little fruit nut
babies
together.
Little peaberries.
One of them might not even be his. Maybe one of them is Mr. Peanut's. We will never know. Mr. Strawberry, he's a little guy. He's got a monocle. He's got a little hat. Little cane.
Too bad he has a strawberry allergy. And a peanut allergy.
Oh, yeah, he's 1 foot in the grave.
Yeah,
he's already.
Yeah. 2 feet on a banana peel. He also has 3 feet.
What's with the Argentina box?
That's his pickup line. Miss Peanut.
What?
What's with the Argentina box?
It's instant bead box.
That's right.
Need a bead?
You're coming by sea.
Somebody give me a phone number to call.
There you go.
Just text 2 to Argent, and you've got a bead with bead box.
Nice.
Did Nadine buy a shovel from Dr. Ann?
12. Next.
100% she bought at least a shovel.
Why did Major Briggs eat Dougie's wedding ring?
Hunger. Loneliness.
Look, if it wasn't magically put there by the magician, then he was hypnotized by the magician to eat it.
So it's magic either way.
Yeah, one way or the other, it's magic.
Which horn does Richard Horn belong to?
If it's Audrey, I'll die.
How old is Richard Horn? How old is Richard Horn? I'm gauging things off the age of people's offspring.
19.
You think this gentleman is 19?
26.
If this kid is 25 and he is the love child of Billy Zane and Audrey Horn.
Billy Zane died.
I'm going to write myself off of this show.
Unsolved mysteries.
Well, that was wild. You saying the thing about Audrey, I think it was in the live stream, you just said something like, Audrey would never raise a child like that.
She wouldn't. She has too much class.
To raise a child?
Like that. You missed the last part of
that. She's
got
too much class to raise a child.
I mean, she does. She would never raise a child.
Listen,
Mothers, who needs them?
Listen, I just want to take a minute and hop in the rat room and see what the hell's happening there.
All right.
Oh.
You know, it's... It's colder in here than usual.
You didn't turn the heat on?
I forgot to turn the heat on. It's breezy.
You know, you should have done.
Hmm.
Turn the heat on.
I should have turned the heat on.
You started the fire.
opportunity missed. But you know, it still feels familiar. Feels good.
I've seen flames in here before.
Maybe we should just set these curtains on fire and see what happens.
Fire walk with me. Let's go.
Take these horse sounds. Oh, there's a horse back there. All right. So we're here in the Reddit room. We're going to look at some old reactions from Reddit and see if this doesn't spark some conversation here. Got one from the shark from Jaws 007. Says, Jacoby becoming both a conspiracy YouTuber and the new Billy Mays for shovels makes so much sense, and I'm actually surprised none of us thought of it before. It's so perfect.
Yeah.
For Jacoby's character.
It really is another thing that is, like, it makes sense.
Yes.
You wouldn't even think of it, kind of like what he's, it's like you wouldn't think of it, but then when you see it, it makes sense. Like, kind of like with Bobby being, working at the sheriff's station, it's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, I get that.
Yeah. Yeah, that tracks but that character. But
also, never would have thought that that's what mm-hmm. he'd be doing.
It does kind of take the secret history to fully put together that that's where that character's arc is going to go.
Yeah.
Like, for him to kind of have experimented with, you know, these sort of psychedelics and, like, experimental psychology, and then to just really go off the deep end as far as, you know, the government's hands being in pharmaceuticals, and to just go full tinfoil hat.
Yeah.
I love it.
He loves it.
It's perfect.
He loves it.
Patrick, you're also not alone in one spot. User 450_dollars said, was there a green light flashing on that guy's face before Coop said he's lying?
I saw a green light. Not a red light. I saw a green light.
Yep. I don't notice color so much.
Right.
So
you're not a color guy.
I'm not a colors guy. So I couldn't tell you one way or the other whether or not it was a green or just reflective light on the guy's face. It would make sense if it was.
Again, it's just one of those weird things where with the green tea thing that happened moments prior, and just green being the color of Dougie's jacket, there was definitely a green theme going on.
The green theme.
Yeah. I'm leaving. This place spooks me.
It is spooky in here, and I think it's time to go.
And with that, we will rate this episode.
Oh, boy.
On a scale of 1 to 5, James Hurley foreheads. Mm. It's talking foreheads, babe.
Talking foreheads.
I can't. I just can't.
James!
Oh, yeah.
It's James. Tyler.
Mm.
Where are we feeling today? Where are we, like Mike walking in the red room trying to feel? Where are we feeling? Where are we feeling?
I don't know. This is tough.
All right, Dave.
He said it was tough. He let the boy get to it.
Okay. I'm getting there. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna go here.
Just 3.5.
Oh my!
I don't have to explain myself.
You don't.
So,
but I'd like for you to.
I don't know. Like,
it's not the score I was expecting, but that's okay.
It was good, but there was, again, like, a lot happened and nothing happened. And then the stuff with David Copperhead was just kind of awesome. But then other stuff wasn't. And I don't
know. That's fine. Perfectly acceptable. Davery. Oh, wow, look at that.
So,
who is that?
I struggled a little bit with this one. It was very confusing in a couple spots. But I'd like a good mystery, so I don't hate that it gave me questions. I hope this does pan out, because I know that this season was filmed with a cohesive vision. It was planned start to finish. So I feel like things in this are much more intentional and much less stream of consciousness, fever dream logic. If it's here, there's a reason it's here. I just need to know.
Like the people walking backwards.
Yes, exactly like that. So it's very good. It's not perfect. It did leave me confused. And I still enjoyed every second, but I can't give it more than a 3.
Just 3.
I think I said this earlier. I can't remember, but this was probably my least favorite episode at this point in watching. However, I've liked it a lot more upon rewatches, which I was even surprised by, especially this last time that we rewatched it. But again, I think there's a lot to love. There's also a lot of characters to hate. Yes. Like Richard Horn.
Dick.
He sucks. Yeah, he's a dick. I'm giving this one a 4.
Just 4.
And that's Talking Foreheads.
Talking Foreheads.
It's Talking Foreheads, babe.
Babe. It's Talking Foreheads, babe.
Babe.
All right.
Part 5.
Part 5 is a wrap.
That is a wrap on part 5. So if you'd like to reach out for us, if there's anything we missed, anything you'd like us to reflect on later on, you can reach out to us at talkingbackwardspod@gmail.com. We're also on Instagram at talkingbackwardspod. Patrick?
You can hit us up on Twitter at talkingbackward.
Tyler?
So once again here on Talking Backwards, I have a few Egg Devler shout-outs to send out to our new Patreon subscribers. First shout-out we have goes out to a person that has many names. I'm not sure if they do this on purpose to keep me on my toes, but as of this recording, I'd like to send a shout-out to Dark Souls Farting Mod. Killer name, killer support. And that's all we have today on Talking Backwards. Tune in next time for some more Egg Devler shout-outs.
Yeah! And
Anchor! What happened to the GS lady?